Charles O'Mine. Time to share a book. Story Life of A.J. Fickrey by Gabriel Zevin. According to the book jacket, Zevin has, among other things, written for the New York Times Book Review and NPR's All Things Considered. She has written about her world, that of bookstores, publishing reps, and readers' opinions. As a personal historian, I like her approach that we are not quite novels, we're not quite short stories. In the end, we are collected works. The story involves a bookstore owner, the narrative told by an avid reader. If that describes you, you'll enjoy this little literary confection. Again, that's The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey by Gabriel Zevin. There's a lovely amphitheater in the small community of Fair Oaks, California. Although Fair Oaks is a suburb of the capital of California, when you step into Fair Oaks Village, you step out of the crazy city energy. The theater snack bar demographics are much different than, say, that for the Sacramento Kings. So I visited a bit with the woman behind the scenes, a woman who oversees the theater's snack bar, Marit Bryant. So my mother, like a lot of Little League moms, manned the snack bar at a lot of my brother's games. And she didn't like it as much as scorekeeping.
I understand that.
Did you spend any time behind the Little League?
No. My son was, he did more things like relay races and that kind of stuff, yeah. And then he got into drama in high school. And that was, you know, then he started going, taking classes at American River in drama and theater. And then he started over here and he's been in over.
He pulled you into it.
Yeah, he did, as a matter of fact. About 2004, about 10 years ago, I became a board member. And then about 3 years after that, I officially took over the snack bar. But I had worked in it for the year before because the snack bar manager's husband got really ill. So I just kind of took it over and thought, oh, this would be fun for a few years. And now, now I'm going into number eight.
Number eight, crazy eight.
Yeah.
So instead of a Little League mom, you were a drama mom.
I'm a drama mom, that is correct. And my son just turned 50 yesterday.
Holy moly, half-century mark.
Yes, yes. But it has been interesting.
So do you remember your first experience manning the snack bar and the requests that came in and trying to find things easily or running out? And
I had volunteered in the snack bar before just as a volunteer, so I kind of knew where things were. My biggest concern was the first time I had to order things. That was the biggest thing.
Inventory.
I had to do inventory, and I have to figure out how much do I get, how much, because we don't pre-sell tickets per se. A lot of our ticket sales are just people coming.
At the door?
At the door. So sometimes it's a little iffy on how much you're going to, sometimes it's root beer that sells, sometimes it's water, sometimes it's junior mints, and sometimes it's red vines. You never know.
Red vines have been around for quite a while.
They have, and they continue to be a big seller because they're a good deal. And I try to keep the prices down. All my candy is still just a dollar, and all my drinks are two. And then we have ice cream for $2. We have drumsticks and sandwiches.
So what if you tried that didn't work?
What have I tried that didn't work? Actually, most things have worked. The one thing that probably didn't go over so well was dark chocolate, believe it or not.
Huh.
You know, some people had been asking me for dark chocolate, so one year I thought, okay, let me just do that. Let me order a box of dark chocolates and see how it goes. And that box lasted the whole season.
Considering the health conscious area.
I know, it was amazing because I happen to like dark chocolate myself.
Me too.
So I thought this would, and people had been asking, but when I put it out there, no, that did not work. And that was a big surprise to me because I thought that would have worked, but didn't.
Now, have you only done snacks here? Have you also tried like dogs and burgers, maybe for special events?
Certain things we can't do.
License-wise,
it has to be things that are for resale. We do only on comedy nights, which are put on by the park district, but we get the snack bar revenue. We do hot dogs, and the only reason I do it on those days is because the tickets are pre-sold, so I know how many people are going to be here, and I can kind of estimate how many hot dogs I'm going to sell. And so I can do that, but otherwise, no. And you have to have, you know, it's a big hassle with the Department of Health if you start doing things like nachos and so on.
Actual food.
Yes, right.
Cooked on the premises.
Right. So we just do usually things that are, you know, for pre-sale.
I said actual food, yeah. Realizing I said that after nachos. And I, well, okay, no, not real food.
And, you know, there's some people that will question you whether hot dogs are real food or not.
Well, it's from an animal, so I guess it's not exactly.
No.
Now, what do you remember from the snack bars when you were a kid? Where did you used to? Did you have any bowl games or plays that you used to?
No, because I grew up in Denmark. I'm not from the United States. I grew up in Denmark and lived there till I was 16. And then I came to Canada. And for 2 years, and then came down to the United States.
So, Mike, carnivals or local events or festivals?
I remember Tivoli, you know. I lived in Copenhagen, and we went to Tivoli, and of course they had all the snacks there.
Well, tell me, I've never been.
You know? Oh, they have the best hot dogs.
Oh, speaking of hot dogs.
Yes. They have, long, red, skinny hot dogs that just kind of snap when you eat them. They're great.
Oh, so the juices are sealed in.
Yes, they're just really great. And, cotton candy, roasted chestnuts, those type of things.
Yeah, you don't see roasted chestnuts too much.
Not anymore, no. Well, in New York, and I live in New York. I'm a nurse, and I did my nurse's training there. In the wintertime, they still have the carts with the hot pretzels or the roasted chestnuts.
Not on the West Coast, though, so much.
No. Mm-mm.
Didn't make it over here.
Well, I think it's because it's like a winter thing. It's hot, and so it's nice when it's winter and the snow.
Even when it's cold here, it's not as bad as New York.
Or Canada, for that matter.
Yeah, we don't have those Atlantic.
Yeah. So,
well, what were kind of snacks when you were growing up in Denmark? What were considered, you mentioned cotton candy and...
They would have regular candy stores, and that was where you got your candy. We would go to the candy store, and I would get chocolate-covered nougat. And then they would have ice cream cones and they're like cream puffs. It's like soft marshmallow that's covered in dark chocolate. Hmm. And then they would smash that on top of my ice cream cone, and it was so good. And black licorice. Those were my favorites as a kid.
And did they have fairs and festivals? I assume they must have.
Well, they do now. You have to remember, I'm much older.
Yeah, but carnivals go back to the turn of the century.
Have carnivals, but because we lived in Copenhagen and I was so close to Tivoli, that's mostly where we went. But I do remember certain, when I went on vacation to my uncle's, that they did have carnivals. And some of the rides just scared me because they were really, they had the big swings type that would go way out and so on, and I would just get sick when I got on them, so I didn't really do too much of that.
Well, the snacks would come back up again. So what about Canada? What was the transition like for you, culturally speaking?
It was a shock because I came from from Copenhagen to a very small town called Sussex. And actually, we lived in Appelhoek and then in Sussex. And they put me right in the 10th grade. There was
no testing,
no nothing. You're this old, you've finished the 9th grade, you're going into the 10th grade. So fortunately I was ahead of them in math and in certain other subjects, so I was able to work a little hard on the English, but it was tough. My brother and sister went into a one-room school.
So they're younger?
Yes. Uh-huh. My sister spoke not a word of English, not a word, but she did great. She was the most improved student at the end of the year.
Kids are pretty like sponges.
Oh, they
pick
are.
Up pretty quickly.
They are, yes. Yeah.
Now, did you move because your dad's work? Or?
My dad had always wanted to emigrate, and my mother didn't want to because of her family.
Yeah.
And then once her mother died, and her father had died a long time before, she said, well, it doesn't hurt for you to go in and talk to immigration, which he did. And he talked to them in January, and in May he was on his way to Canada, and we followed a month later.
Wow, that's quick.
Yeah, that was quick.
Do you think it's because of his employment, something they needed, or?
Yes, and at that time, the quota for different countries was different. And from Denmark, it was not too many Danish people immigrated, so.
It was a number thing. Okay.
And my dad was the ship's architect and a finishing carpenter, so, you know, they figured he could get
employment easily.
Yes. So
support the local economy.
Yeah, which he did. So it was interesting.
Were there any little treats that your mom would make for you when you were a kid?
She made something that probably today would be a little bit similar to Orange Julius. That was always one where she would whip an egg white with sugar, and then she would put the juice of an orange and half a lemon in there, and then she would whip the egg whites and put them in there, and that was a real treat when we got those.
I remember when Cal Expo opened.
Yeah.
And I saw the Orange Julia Shack. Uh-huh. And of course, I'd been to the old State Fair. You know, I was old enough to be...
Mm-hmm.
To attend that. But when Cal Expo opened, you know, everything was concrete and wasn't the same.
Uh-huh.
But I remember seeing this Orange Julia stand, and I, Dad, I have to. And it was something, the price was outrageous, like 60 cents. And he refused to pay for it. What? What? Yeah. I'll never forget that. But the Orange Julius, as delicious as it is, does not take care of your thirst.
No, no. I had one last night, actually.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh,
I
how
did.
Funny.
For dessert.
You get a gallon of it to wet your whistle. So tell me about the type of snacks that maybe requests that come in.
Over at our snack bar right now, the biggest seller is our red vines, no doubt. And part of it is because, especially the kids that come, they can share it.
Oh,
it's
that
a
makes
shareable
sense.
Thing. Also, the young children and the young adults, the old teenagers and so on, they like the sour Skittles and the Starburst, all those, and Laffy Taffy, all those sugary things. Yes. Whereas I find that the older group they'll do the Snickers or the Junior Mints is a big seller.
I love Junior Mints as well.
Uh-huh.
I'm concurring with your demographic here.
And then I do have a variety of nuts, you know, salted nuts, peanuts, and cashews, and so on, that people can buy. And we have three different kinds of cookies, like Oreos, my favorite, and some chocolate chip cookies.
Do you ever offer fresh baked goods, maybe on certain events?
No.
For the same reason, for the permit?
For the permit, the licensing is an issue. You know, we could get shut down, and, you know, we just don't want to do that.
Well, no.
No. The only thing I do make, besides coffee, I do brew a really good cup of iced tea. I make good iced tea.
And how is yours different?
I don't know, but it is really good, and everybody...
It's gone.
Yeah. Everybody always raves about it. And I have a machine, and I make it on the machine, and I just... The trick, I guess, is how much do you dilute it? Because it's very concentrated when it comes out.
Hmm.
And so I don't dilute it that much. And then I just pour it over a lot of ice.
Yeah, so the ice would do a little bit of dilution, I would assume.
And so they get a good cup of iced tea. So that's a big seller, too, especially in the heat.
Now, have you had a relatively easy run, as it were, as far as customers are concerned? Or have you had the odd incident?
Well, I occasionally have the odd incident, but it's very rare. You know, in the 7 years, maybe I've had four.
And what happened on those occasions?
And, you know, like one person was going to tell me exactly how to run, that I was running the snack bar all wrong. And I said, well, okay.
Thanks for coming.
You know, yeah, I appreciate it. And then occasionally they get upset that I don't carry a certain thing. And, why don't I have food, you know. Those have been the, the major ones. The biggest one was the woman who really wanted to tell me how to run a snack bar. She was pretty insistent.
I tell you what, you get a snack bar and you run it the way that you want to.
Yeah.
But of course, snack bars now, you have other little sundry items that you offer too, probably during the summer, I would imagine.
Well, here in the concession booth, they do. We always have T-shirts for the, like over there, for each show. We have different T-shirts and little things like the antennas, because we're doing the planet, the brain from Planet X. That's what we're doing right now. And so we have the antennas and the funny glasses. And the glasses, nobody really knows why we're selling the glasses, but if you see the show, they'll know why.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we have some of the little spaceships, and we have some little laser guns and stuff. So and the kids like that. It's really not a kid's show. It's rated PG-13, this one is. But some of the older kids like 10 and so on.
More mature
they probably see worse on TV anyway.
Yeah, some of these horror movies.
This is not horror. There's a little bit of sexual talk in it, but not much. And that's really why we decided to make it PG-13. Then people can decide what they want to do. We don't think it's really bad, but
parents call.
That's right. I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Now, since your son performs in many of the plays here, has he made any special snack requests?
Oh, he just teases me all the time why I don't make nachos. He says, where are my nachos? And I say, get out of here. Get out of my snack bar.
Get on with you.
Yes, no, he's very supportive.
Well, you have an interesting view from the snack bar because you can see the stage from there.
It's the best, you know, and if you're a volunteer in my snack bar, you get free popcorn. We do make popcorn, and it's only $1 a bag. So you get free popcorn and a free drink. That's your pay for being a volunteer. And then you have the best seat in the house.
And you can hear it okay up here?
Absolutely, you can hear everything. As a matter of fact, if there is a noise in the park, I don't really hear that. The walls block it.
Oh, nice. The acoustics are what they should be.
Yes. So in the snack bar, it's better, actually, than sometimes out there.
Well, my listeners, they should let you know that there are roosters and chickens in the area.
Yes.
Back from when this was farming attempts country, and the chickens and roosters stayed, and it's just part of the community. In fact, I attended one of the comedy Under the Stars here at the theater, and it was a comedian who had driven up from Southern California. And he was complaining, you know, about the long drive and all the colors of brown that he counted as he was driving up. Mm-hmm. And he commented on all the roosters. And he said, you know, 3 or 4 chickens, it's cute. 15, it's Hong Kong.
You know, everybody complains. And once in a while, we have a chicken running across the stage, you know, but it's all right.
A little walk-in part.
The actors are used to it. They just kind of push them off the stage a little bit. And our show doesn't start, the first show starts at 8:30. And chickens go to bed fairly early, you know, going to bed with the chickens. And you hear them just squawking and carrying on, and they fly up in the trees and roost. And
those are the balcony seats.
Those are the best seats, yes. And by 8:45, they're all asleep, and we don't hear them much anymore. Our biggest thing are the helicopters that sometimes fly over. Or the fire department that's just up the street when they have an...
Oh, yeah, not too much you can do about that.
No. And, you know, again, we just live with it.
Got to go with the flow.
It's
an actor's life.
Under the stars.
Even inside, you got problems. And...
Yeah. So it's fun. And for me, being in the snack bar all these years, one of the best things, I think, is to see the young kids that play, that are in the plays. I see them grow up. They come back year after year, and I watch them. And then they go to college, and then they come back and see us. And it's really fun. It's inspiring, because the first show that we had is actually a class from American River. And our artistic director is a professor at American River, teaches theater and film history. And we pay their tuition. The festival does. We pay the actors' tuition, and they actually get college credits for the first show.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. They get a very small stipend. They don't get really get enough to maybe keep them in gas to get here. That's it. But we do pay their tuition. the vocal director, the music director, the choreographer, the costumer, they all are all teach at American Rhythm. The second show is ours. The second show that we do is one. We do that on our own.
Well, the only disadvantage, of course, of attending a theater is you don't get to watch the dancing popcorn and hot dog go across the screen to visit your neighborhoods, your local snack bar.
Although in this show, we do have a big TV screen and we project old horror movies or old spaces movies, you know, with UFOs on just before the show.
Fun.
So people can just...
Like the old drive-in days, the cartoon before.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
But specifically space, though.
Well, because of the brain from Planet X. So it's regarding UFOs and all the old ones, you know, from Twilight Zone, and that's pretty cute.
Outer Limits.
Yes.
Do not adjust your set.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I just remember the Twilight Zone was always one of my favorites.
The Outer Limits piqued my interest because it opened so left field and so bizarre, but then it was just a normal show. And
it
was kind of a disappointment, you know.
Oh. Twilight Zone never disappointed. Wat Serling was good.
Then he moved on to Night Gallery. And
yeah.
So how many years longer do you think you'll be here?
Who knows? I guess as long as my son is involved, I'll probably stick around. I get to see him every weekend this way. And it's fun. I would love to just maybe share the responsibility with another person. Who knows? Maybe somebody will step up and say, okay, I'll take it half time.
As soon as you say that you're stepping down, somebody will fill the void so it doesn't close.
Because it's a long season. It's from June 20th till October 5th. And it's every weekend.
Hmm.
No, it's a long time. I usually only take one weekend off a year. So between that and then the hours I spent at home ordering online, and I order from one of the big box stores and they do what we call click and pull, and I order it and they pull it for me and then we go and pick it up. But it's time consuming.
It'd be nice to do something else.
Yeah, it would be.
What would you like to do if you had the time?
I would like to do help with costumes again. I did that for a while before I got involved with the snack bar.
Oh.
I did some sewing. I do a fairly decent hand sewing job, so they gave me a lot of the hand sewing. That was fun. And just for something different. Or maybe even coming over to the concession booth and working with us over here.
You must meet a lot of people, I would assume.
I've made some really good friends, too. Absolutely. And the theater community is actually a fairly small community, you know. People know each other. And so my our artistic director and my son, they both are well-known, you know. So when I go and I say, oh, yeah, I'm Joe's mother, Joe Hart's mother, they say, oh, yeah. They don't know my name. It's Joe's mother.
That's how I felt when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Ron's daughter. Like,
okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. Just switched it up.
Yeah. It's fun. And I meet some very nice young people, too, you know, in the community.
Have you met out-of-state people that have approached the snack bar?
Yes. A couple of people from Denmark actually came. They were here visiting relatives and came up to the snack bar, and we got a chance to speak Danish. And I've had Danish exchange students come. And we've had people from out of state or out of town, but not from other countries so much.
The Danish connection.
Yeah. And
that
maybe because
like
I'm Danish that I was, that, you know, they sought me out. And then we have, our sound director, actually, his girlfriend's from Thailand, and she still is over there, and she comes and visits. And helps in the snack bar when she comes.
Nice.
We grab her.
Thank you.
Yes. And it takes, I need three people in the snack bar every night. I fortunately have people that come back and come back and come back. And that's very nice.
Well, maybe I'll help you one night. I wouldn't mind
that would be
watching
nice.
A show.
And you know, yeah, and the snack bar is the nicest place to work because it's the coolest place.
Perk.
Yes. That is the perk. And if it gets really, really hot, everybody always wants to go in and restock the cooler in the back with the cold drinks because, you know, it's really nice.
Let me do that for you.
Yeah, that's never a problem.
But summer is the best time to have an outdoor theater and grab a nice cold drink and under the stars.
It's just nice, yeah. I'd love for you to come in and see the show.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, we have both the second show is The Drowsy Chaperone, which we did last year, and we had so many requests to do it again because everybody loved it. So we're going to do it again, see how that goes.
Because it's a small community theater, there are no understudies. When Marit's son, who was performing in a play, was involved in an accident, they asked someone in the audience to step in and read the part from a book that evening, which she did. While her son spent time recuperating in a wheelchair, so did his role on stage. Marit said that Charlie Brown's wheelchair performance received a standing ovation. In this week's celebration of the 150th anniversary of the National Park System, I'm heading over to the Tall Grass Prairie National Preserve in Kansas. It's a unique private-public partnership between the National Park Service, primary land manager, and the Nature Conservancy, primary landowner. The grasses on the prairie uplands generally grow between 3 to 5 feet, although the Tall Grass Prairie once covered 170 million acres of North America, less than 4% remains, mostly in the Kansas Flint Hills. Native American tribes who have lived in the area include the Wichita, Kaw, Osage, and Pawnee. After the War of 1812, tribes were pushed out, and white settlers moved in, clearing the land for extensive farming. A different push, restoring the tall grasses, was instigated by, among others, Aldo Leopold, considered a father of the conservation movement. He said, "Prairie was, in fact, a community of plants and animals so organized as to build, through the centuries, the rich soil which now feeds us. A small growing herd of bison reside on Windmill Pasture, and while cattle still graze in the area, conservation-minded cattle owners are trying alternative grazing practices, such as burn patches, which not only offers huge rewards for biodiversity, but cattle ranchers may retain their profit margins. By the way, the best time of year to see the grass at its tallest is in the fall." To quote Candace Savage, "Grasslands challenge our senses, calling us to open our eyes to impossibly broad horizons, and then, in the very next breath, to focus on some impossibly tiny critter hidden in the grass." We'll be celebrating Independence Day this weekend, so here are a few interesting bits of trivia regarding whatever happened to with the signers of the Declaration of Independence who literally risked their lives. 5 were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 9 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army, and another had 2 sons captured. Carter Braxton's ships were swept away by the British Navy, so he had to sell his home and properties to pay debts and died in rags. Thomas McKean was so heavily harassed by the British that he frequently moved his family and remained in hiding. He wasn't paid to serve in Congress, by the way. The properties of Dillery, Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton were looted either by vandals or soldiers. Thomas Nelson, Jr. urged General George Washington to open fire on his own home, which British General Cornwallis had taken over for his headquarters during the Battle of Yorktown. Home destroyed, Nelson died bankrupt. Not only were Francis Lewis's home and properties destroyed, but his wife was jailed and died a few months later. John Hart was forced to leave his dying wife and his 13 children. The children then fled for their lives. He lived in forests and caves for more than a year, returning to find his wife dead and his children gone. He died a few weeks later. Norris and Livingston experienced similar outcomes. So include these extremely brave gentlemen in your toast this weekend, okay? This weekend also is a celebration of National Tom Sawyer Days in Hannibal, Missouri, where, of course, Mark Twain spent his childhood. The offerings switch from a frog jumping contest to a fence painting contest. And over in Gloucester, Rhode Island, there is the 88th Ancients and Horribles Parade, in which locals spoof local and national politics and offer fun, goofy entries. I just like the name, Ancients and Horribles. Do something different. Make a list of things to do that you've already done.